Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're very happy to say hello to Ross Tucker appearing on the Dialpad guest line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls. Online, radio.com, Sports NFL Insider Ross Tucker. As always, Insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Ross, thanks so much for joining us. How are you doing this week?
I am doing fantastic. If you would have told me when I was younger that I'd be this excited to have a large salad in my hotel room from room service, I would have told you that I turned into a big fat loser, but that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at in life. I just had an awesome salad. I'm in a hotel and I'm happy about it.
When it comes to ruining the salad with fattening aspects, are you a crouton guy or a creamy dressing guy? Because that can turn a salad into a burger real fast.
You know what? I didn't have either. I don't really need the croutons. I usually get the dressing on the side if I can. I did go double chicken, and instead of red onions, I asked for extra avocado, and they gave it to me. So very excited. What I don't understand is she brings the food. It had been like 30 minutes. I start eating it, and then the phone in my hotel room rang. And I go over to pick it up, and it's in-room dining. Is the food to your liking? And I'm like, well, it was when I was eating it 10 seconds ago. Like, why do they call you to act, like, they just finally brought my food. I was so happy to be eating it, and then I got interrupted in the middle of my glorious salad. Are we on board with the follow-up call, or do we hate the follow-up call?
You could have just let that phone ring, man. That phone is there for your convenience, not theirs. That's on you, Ross.
I guess. I don't know. Now I have an IPA, I'm watching Syracuse Pitt, and I'm talking to you guys and loving life.
It's a good Friday.
By the way, Ray's never even had a salad. Do you know what those are, Ray?
I've had salads, you monkey.
more to the
point. You
know
what, Ray?
Yes.
It was growing up, I didn't have salad. I didn't have anything like that. And I don't know. I've just kind of started to like it more as I've gotten older. I don't know. It's really weird. I also discovered, I don't know how this happened. I have two daughters. I like chocolate ice cream more than vanilla ice cream now, which is like after 40 years of my life. How does that happen?
You may be pregnant. Before we get into what sort of dessert you're going to have them bring up in 3.5 hours, the NFL took another blow last night when Patrick Mahomes went down. And the quarterback carnage this year seems to be at record levels. Is there a likelihood, or is there a way to tell that maybe this is going to be one of those years where if you get 16 games out of your quarterback, you're the luckiest team in football?
Well, I mean, last year there was very little injuries at the quarterback position. I think it was like the healthiest year that they've had in a while. I mean, most teams had their quarterback for all 16 games last year. So I guess it's regression of the mean or whatever this year. It's kind of interesting, isn't it, though, in light of them really pushing for a 17th game, that we're already seeing all these quarterbacks go down, although I'm sure, you know, the argument there would be, well, 17 games gives them a better chance to be able to get back that season or whatever the argument would be. But, yeah, I mean, if you have your quarterback the whole time, that's going to make a big difference. Like, I would say this, you know, I'm hearing that the reports that Mahomes might be able to come back in, you know, 4 weeks before the bye. First of all, why would you do that, right? Like, if why would you bring him back for the game right before the bye when you can get a couple more weeks? Secondly, the more I think about it, based on everything I've read, I wouldn't play Mahomes again this year. I mean, you can re-injure it. You can have the ligament damage. He'd have to wear a brace to try to keep his kneecap in place. And the reality is, by the time he comes back in a month, they're going to have at least three or four losses playing the Vikings, playing the Packers with Matt Moore out there. So you look at it from a cost-benefit analysis standpoint. You guys are out there, all the smart, you know, Silicon Valley guys, all the hedge fund guys. There's no way if they owned the Chiefs that they would put Patrick Mahomes in 5 weeks from now with a brace, knowing he has to have surgery after the year, because the chances that you're going to, number one, win multiple road playoff games, because you're not going to get a top two seed at that point. So you're going to have to go on the road and win like at Houston and then win at New England with a quarterback that can't really run around. He's got this big knee brace. Like, the odds of getting the Super Bowl are so small, and that's the only thing that Chiefs fans would be happy about, that you're so much better off having the surgery now and having him 100% for next year. That's how I would look at it if I owned the Chiefs. A lot of NFL teams are more short-sighted than that, but you guys are out there with all the guys I went to college with, and if they owned the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes would have the surgery probably tomorrow.
Anybody else notice how pessimistic Ross Tucker's become since he started eating salads in hotel rooms?
Pessimistic in what way?
No, I'm just kidding, obviously. Look, you're saying that if it's the right time to pull the reins back because of this injury, I want to bring it back to the Niners going 5-0. Is it the right time for them to get more aggressive on the trade deadline because of this start? And it's time to get it. I mean, we look at it this way. The team that they just beat got so aggressive, they added Jalen Ramsey.
Well, who are we talking about? Like, what position are we looking at?
Let's say wide receiver.
Yeah, wide receiver just jumps to the front of the page, I think, when you look at Niners' needs.
I can see that. And there's some speculation that maybe a guy like Emmanuel Sanders might be available. I think he'd probably be a good fit. I think that the Niners should absolutely explore it, yes, because I think that the NFC is wide open. I think that the 49ers have as good a chance to go to the Super Bowl from the NFC as anybody. I really believe that. I love them. I mean, I watched that whole game against the Rams on Sunday. I love these dudes. I mean, first of all, it seemed like, you know, watching the red zone, it seemed like what there was 37 third or fourth downs that the Niners stopped the Rams on last week. Like, that was crazy. And every time they did, my guy, the D coordinator, Saleh, is like flexing and the veins are popping in his head. By the way, I hope people enjoy him. 1,000% chance he gets a head coaching job this offseason, because there's going to be some owner that watched the red zone and was like, that's what we need. We need that guy. We need his energy. And look, the Niners defense is so good and they're winning. Like, he's gone. He's gone after this year when you become a red zone superstar like that. But I love the 49ers. I mean, the guys they have at tackle right now to win on the road in L.A. when you had a short week and the Rams had 10 days. So to answer your question, yeah, I think they probably should absolutely explore Emmanuel Sanders and receivers. I don't see anything on the offensive line they need with getting the tackles back. I don't really see anything else on offense that they would need. And defensively, they're pretty awesome. So receiver would be the one that I think they should absolutely be exploring. I think that's fair.
As a guy who played the offensive line, and you mentioned it, the two backup tackles in there right now, I'm just trying to ask everybody who can break this sort of thing down better than I can. Right now, the fact that they don't seem to have lost much, going from two guys who I think are considered Pro Bowl-level tackles to two guys nobody's ever heard of, is that coaching? Is that they found two gems in later rounds with Brunskill and School? Is that they're not actually playing as well as I thought, and I just can't tell? What is it?
It's basically a combination of everything you just said, right? So they're playing fine. They're playing solid. I think, you know, Kyle has an unbelievable job of setting them up for success, putting them in positions where they can excel and not putting them in situations where they could really get exposed. And you can really do that up front on the offensive line. And he's as good as that as anybody. I think I might have told you guys this the last time we talked, but you know, I've talked to so many different players over the years, right? Like, I'm friends with Kyle Juszczyk, or I'm friends with Sage Rosenfels, who played for Kyle Shanahan with the Houston Texans. Eric Winston's another one. Like, Eric Winston said, he played for a million teams. He's like, man, best offense I ever played in. It's the most friendly for an offensive lineman is the Shanahan-Kubiak offense. I loved it. It was great. Then you talk to, like, Juszczyk. He says the same thing. You talk to any running back that ever played in it, they say the same thing. I had Sage Rosenfels talk to Mike Pettine when Mike Pettine was getting the Browns head coaching job about hiring Shanahan as his OC, because I told Pettine that Sage Rosenfels said it's the best offense he's ever been as a quarterback in 12 years. And I know that receivers say the same thing. I mean, think about that. Like, I literally know guys at every position that have played for multiple teams that have said to me, Ross, it's the best offense for my position. Every offensive position, dudes that played it said that Kyle's offense is the best for the position they play. And I think the way he was able to minimize the impact of having two backup tackles in, and not having Juszczyk for that matter, on Sunday was really, really impressive.
Are you close enough with Kyle Juszczyk to tell us precisely when he'll be returning to the field?
I could text you. I could text him, and he would probably tell me, but then I wouldn't tell you because that would like violate the trust. Then he would never really talk to me like that anymore.
How about
and basically, we just go back and forth about the Princeton-Harvard thing. He's upset that they are number two in the country. We're number one. He's upset that we were undefeated last year and that they're not as good. He's got a lot to be upset about, but he makes a ton of money, and he's on maybe the best team in the NFC, so I don't feel bad for him.
How about this, Ross? And we'll wrap up with this because we're almost out of time here. If you only knew this about the Redskins, is it everything you need to know? With the glowing review you just gave of Kyle Shanahan, Daniel Snyder had Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, and Matt LaFleur in his building and let them all go, and he just fired his head coach. Isn't that pretty much all you need to know about them?
That's not even 5% of it. I mean, I started my career there. I ended my career there. There's so much more we could get into than that. That's a bad look, but in fairness, you know, they had Jay Gruden for most of those. You know, when they fired Mike Shanahan, they weren't going to hire Kyle Shanahan, so he's out. And then when they had Jay Gruden, you know, they won the division with Kirk Cousins when McVay and then LaFleur left. So, yes, I think in hindsight, it looks really bad. But I can tell you that the biggest mistake they made was in 2001 when they fired Marty Schottenheimer after 1 year. I mean, because he wouldn't call him Mr. Snyder, or because he didn't want Daniel Snyder making the decisions. I mean, it's a shame because...
Is Daniel Snyder really that petty? Is it like Mr. Snyder, no eye contact? Like, is all that real, Ross?
I don't know. I never heard the no eye contact thing. The Mr. Snyder thing I've heard from a lot of people. I can tell you one funny story that I experienced is... He really only, and I've heard the Mr. Snyder story from a bunch of people, never heard the eye contact thing, but I can tell you that he really only talks with the top five, maybe top 10 players, like that's it. And my second year, when Spurrier was the head coach, I was starting every preseason game, and I was playing well, and the Washington Post did a story on me, and I was walking down the hallway with the offensive lineman after a meeting. And coming the other way was Daniel Snyder. And he looked at me, paused, opened his mouth, and then thought better of it and kept walking. And John Jansen and Chris Samuels, all the guys like, oh my God, Tuck, you almost made it. You almost made it. You're almost in the club. Like, and by the way, I ended up getting benched and then cut. So it was a good thing he didn't actually say hi to me or talk to me. But I got close to him actually acknowledging my presence as a human being, which is why it was so weird when I got cut by them, picked up on waivers by the Cowboys. My first day, Jerry Jones comes up right up to me. Hey, Ross, Jerry Jones, nice to meet you. Like, I had never met an owner before. Like, I didn't know they even did that. So that part of it's very, very true that he only even looks at you if you're like one of the 5 to 10 best players on the team.
Ross, great stuff, man. Thank you so very much.
All right, see you guys.
Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Thanks very much to him stopping on by.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.